Tonight I'm going to talk about hope. The quality of hope. And I'll begin by saying a little bit about the brain. It's very funny the way our human brain works. When we have some kind of need, say I'm hungry, the way the brain communicates that to me often is by pictures, by images, by fantasies. You know, I'll be in the middle of some other task, and then suddenly I'll have a daydream about eating a sandwich or something like that. And it's the brain's way of communicating that I have this need. And so there's something very natural, there's something almost natural in the brain about creating pictures or creating fantasies or stories in our head about what we'd like to see in the future. And when we have a story about something that we want in the future, or we're excited about in the future, that is anticipation. And I think some people's definition of hope overlaps with anticipation. Now, there's nothing wrong with anticipation if it is relatively short-term, things relatively, you know, where I have a large degree of control. You know, for example, you know, I'm looking forward to the dinner that I already have the food in my refrigerator or something like that, or looking forward to a hike with a friend that I plan tomorrow. And of course, even there's possibilities for uncertainty. We're funny as humans. We attach hope or lack of hope to all kinds of distant, far-flung things, things over which I have no control whatsoever. You know, environment, state of the world, you know, the political happenings, you know, what's going to happen 10, 15, 20 years from now, all this. And if I, you know, if I concoct a story about, you know, what's going to happen 10 years from now is going to be really wonderful as far as I'm concerned, then in a naive way, I could have hope in that, you know, and that hope would be very much about the expectations I had. It would be very much about this attachment to a story about what's going to happen in the future. And similarly, if the story I have about 10, 20 years from now, whatever, is something I don't want to see, then I might find that justification for not having hope. And there's something a little problematic about this way of looking at hope. A few things. First of all, it takes our emotional energy out of the present moment. And Buddhism is so much about focusing on the present moment, and in particular, holding our emotional energy in the present moment. When I'm spending my emotional energy toward things in the past or things in the future, There's no being in the past. There's no being in the future, you know? And so that's a very good way to be emotionally exhausted. And of course, also, if I've concocted stories in the future, and I'm attached, say, to those expectations about, well, it's going to be like this, and it's going to be wonderful, you know, this sort of thing. That's attachment. And Buddhism is very clear. Attachment is the cause of suffering. Grasping is the cause of suffering. And so, and another way to say it also is that at least in some views, hope is a virtue. I mean, certainly in a more Christian sense, hope is a virtue. If it's a virtue, it can't be wholly dependent on things outside of my control, you know? In other words, any other virtue, whether it's patience or it's courage or anything like that, that comes from me. And it should depend more on me than the circumstances that I'm confronted with, you know? And so it's possible to separate the idea of hope from the idea of expectations. Hope without expectations. Hope without having a clear story or a clear picture of how the future is going to be. And to some extent, this might be similar to optimism. Of course, the word optimism very much smacks of a kind of head-centered thing, like a, you know, I tell myself a story and then I'm happy with that story kind of thing. When we're truly present, when we're grounded in the body and present in the present moment, there's a tremendous vitality there. And there's tremendous joy. That joy, in fact, is our birthright. And you might say there is a kind of tremendous courage that I can meet anything that arises with presence. You know, this kind of heart of a lion sort of courage and taking refuge in presence. And in this worldview, in this view, there can be tremendous hope, but it's not a hope that's dependent on this or that happening up ahead in the future. It's more a hope that's a kind of confidence that whatever happens, I can meet it with the heart of compassion, with the heart of mindfulness, with the heart of awareness. And I want to read this passage from Tara Brach, which I really love. This passage called A Heart Ready for Anything. If our hearts are ready for anything, we can open up to our inevitable losses, to the depths of our sorrows. We can grieve our lost loves, our lost youth, our lost health, our lost capacities. This is part of our humanness, part of our expression of our love for life. And as we bring creative, courageous presence to the truth of loss, we stay available to the immeasurable ways that love springs forth in our lives. If our hearts are ready for anything, we will spontaneously reach out when others are hurting. Living in an ethical way can attune us to the pain and need of others, but when our hearts are open and awake, we care instinctively. This caring is unconditional. It extends outward and inward wherever there is fear and suffering. If our hearts are ready for anything, we are free to be ourselves. There's room for the wildness of our animal selves, for passion and play. There's room for our human selves, for intimacy, understanding, creativity, and productivity. There's room for spirit, for the light of awareness to suffuse our moments. The Tibetans describe this confidence to be who we are as the lion's roar. So I would describe that worldview as a profoundly hopeful worldview but very much a hope that is not relying at all on expectations, not attached at all to the world needing to, the story needing to go this way or that way, that sort of thing. So I'll share in the chat the quote sheet. The first quote is the Tara Brach quote that I just read. Hafez says, "Ever since happiness heard your name, it has been running through the streets trying to find you." Henry David Thoreau says, "If we will be quiet and ready enough, we shall find compensation in every disappointment." The remarkable woman Emily Dickinson said, "Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings a tune without words and never stops at all." And Emily Dickinson, in her own Zen way, also said, "I dwell in possibility." Thomas Edison said, "Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up." Gandhi said, "You must not lose faith in humanity. Humanity is an ocean. If a few drops of the ocean are dirty, the ocean does not become dirty." G.K. Chesterton says, "Hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to become a strength." Churchill said, "The pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. The optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty." And he also said quite pithily, "If you're going through hell, keep going." Tolkien said quite simply, "There's some good in this world, and it's worth fighting for." Dale Carnegie said, "Most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who have kept on trying when there seemed no hope at all." The Reverend Norman Vincent Peale said, "Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars." This fascinating one from Saint-Exupéry: "If you want to build a ship, don't herd people together to collect wood and don't assign them to tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea." Nelson Mandela said quite simply, "May your choices reflect your hopes and not your fears." Maya Angelou said, You'll face many defeats in your life, but never let yourself be defeated." Anne Frank said, "I don't think of all the misery, but of all the beauty that still remains." Very touching to realize that Anne Frank was younger than Nelson Mandela and Maya Angelou. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Only in the darkness can you see the stars." George Weinberg said quite simply, "Hope never abandons you. You abandon it." The Dalai Lama said, "I find hope in the darkest days and focus in the brightest. I do not judge the universe." Oprah says quite simply, "You get in life what you have the courage to ask for." Steve Jobs said, "Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart." Barbara Kingsolver said, "Hope is a renewable option. If you run out of it at the end of the day, you get to start over in the morning." This obscure politician, Barack Obama, said, "The best way not to feel hopeless is to get up and do something. Don't wait for good things to happen to you. If you go out and make some good things happen, you will fill the world with hope, and you will fill yourself with hope." Rebecca Solnit said, "Hope is an embrace of the unknown." David Orr said, "Hope is a verb with its shirt sleeves rolled up." I love that. And Shigenori Kamaoko said, "Find the seed at the bottom of your heart and bring forth a flower."